Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad. They are the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, 106.7 The Fan's merch shop is open. You can get 106.7 The Fan gear at 106.7thefanshop.com. We got a nice selection of men's and women's shirts and hoodies, coffee mugs, and a lot of other options as well. The perfect gift, 106.7thefanshop.com. Go check it out. Danny, you remember Kelvin Harmon? Wide receiver.
From UNC?
NC State.
NC State.
Close enough. 30 catch, 365-yard rookie season.
Mm-hmm. Then an injury. Washington.
Injury, never really got back, was kind of chasing the next few years in his career a roster spot. He's on the Defenders roster I saw today.
Is that right?
For the DC Defenders, they have a training camp coming up. He's trying to make their team, trying to make a comeback. But I didn't remember that. He caught 30 balls for almost 400 yards as a rookie. I would have taken the under on both of those numbers.
It was a nice beginning of the career, and then I remember he was hurt in the offseason or hurt in training camp or something. Maybe OTAs. I can't remember what it was, but it was one of those, oh, damn, you just feel for the guy. And it was like once he was off that sort of track, he was out of the plans.
30 for 365 is not a huge deal, but that's not that different than like the Jahan Dotson numbers early in his career.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the two were comparable. Dotson's film was way, 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 way more explosive and better. One of those guys was a first-round pick. But think about it. Kelvin Harmon was the 206th pick in his draft.
Yeah.
He was a sixth-round pick. I liked him because he'd been really productive in the ACC. A couple 70-catch years for a yard, seasons for 1,000 yards. But, yeah, pretty cool to see some of the familiar names. There's always a few NFL players trying to make comebacks or who are out of the league trying to fight their way back. But Defenders put out their roster today. He was on it.
That is cool. Those are the guys that I have a secret soft spot for. You know, obviously everybody's trying to pursue their dream. I'm all in favor of that. But it's the dude that went through the ringer and was like this close. You know what I mean? Like he was in the league with catches. You know, there are stats. If you go to Pro Football Reference, Kelvin Harmon is there, dude, and he's trying to work his way back into the league. I'm rooting for him.
I posted a poll earlier today. I've done that one or two times.
You were a poll
before.
Guy. That is true.
The poll I posted based on the first conversation we had on the show today. Should something be done to mitigate court and field storming at the collegiate level? Yesterday, around the country, there was a pretty big conversation around court storming because one of Duke's best players sprained his ankle or knee, it looked like, got banged up by Wake Forest fans storming the floor. There are conferences, as Danny pointed out earlier today, that fine the schools for allowing it to happen. It's not like it's welcomed by the rules in every conference, but very little's done to crack down on it, especially in the ACC where Wake stormed the floor. There's no fines. They didn't get in any trouble. I've got over 1,000 votes so far. It was a yes or no question.
Uh-huh.
Should something be done to mitigate court and field storming at the college level? What do you think the majority of people said?
The majority of people said no. They're like, encourage it more and have motorized walkways for people to get down on the court faster.
This is probably the first time this has happened with over 1,000 votes on a poll I've done. Exactly 50-50. Yes and no.
Wow.
50% of people are saying yes, do something to make it stop. 50% are saying no, it's perfectly fine and reasonable that kids should be able to storm the court. And there's arguments, obviously, in the comments
as well.
You want to know why it's such a good hot button kind of topic of conversation and people are so passionate about it? There's an indicator. Literally 50-50, the response with over 1,000 people chiming in.
That's pretty wild, by the way. That's that close. Because I will say this, that's progress. Because years ago, whenever we did this, because again, there was some other incident, I can't remember what it was, which
probably a decade ago now.
Yeah. The it wasn't, we were by far in the minority. The discourse on this has changed, where both coaches, by the way, obviously John Shire, his player got hurt, so he's probably aggrieved. You could dismiss that. The Wake Forest coach is like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, really. The ACC commissioner, I think, was on record as saying he didn't love this. So now you all of a sudden have some momentum where we go, oh, wait, it's worse than it was. It's not just everybody gets off the floor or you come down for a buzzer beater. It's now, did you beat Duke? So you storm the damn court, right? It's now conference games, even among teams that have had excellent programs. If you win, you storm the court. It's more than it used to be. It used to be reserved for the, like, you beat the number one and you're 2-13 in conference and you beat the number one team in America on a buzzer beater. Okay, now you storm the court. Now it's like, is it a Tuesday night? Did your team win? See you on the court. You know,
there's a little bit of that for sure. I've never been huge on the rules of who should and shouldn't. I have a buddy who once wrote like a 50-pronged, you know,
really?
Like follow the flow chart. You know, if you satisfy these requirements, then go to the next one. And eventually all the way down at the bottom, it says you could storm the court. But it's based on like the ranking of the team you beat, you being bad enough. Like there, it's a very small runway to put a plane down on. And if that those are the unwritten rules, and he wrote them, mm-hmm. then
it would
cut down on court storming, because a lot of them would, you know, no longer happen anyway, because it just wouldn't be as prevalent. I just think it should be banned. And then the question becomes, how do you actually do that? I don't have a good answer. I think you've got to up security. I also think just by banning it helps. Like, do you agree with this theory? Saying that something's not allowed will prevent some people from doing it. Not everyone, but some people. Then there's got to be ramifications, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it anyway, you get in trouble. But I don't have a good comp, but like, I mean, smoking is illegal when you're not 18 years old. Obviously, a lot of people smoke cigarettes. You work in a restaurant, you go out and throw away a trash bag, and four of the people that you work with, some of them aren't 18, are smoking cigarettes, right? I still think there are people out there, but you could say, well, that doesn't stop anyone. I think there are definitely people who didn't because it was illegal or was like, you know, who had a feeling about
right.
weed or something else. I think if you just say, this is not allowed, it is banned, that's a productive start. I don't have a perfect fix. I'm not telling you I can prohibit court storming for the rest of time in college sports forever. What I know is we're not doing anything about it. So if you do nothing about it, well, then nothing will happen. We'll just have court storming. If you say it's banned, if you up security, if you late in games, maybe start putting something up around the floor, if you make an attempt to get the visiting team off the floor, I think there's a lot of things you can do to at least make the situation less dangerous.
So this is a philosophical argument for how people approach things in life, by the way. This is not just with sports. This is in general. If you go, if you're the type of person, and I argue with people all the time, including people very close to me who I love very much, who matter to me. Well, that doesn't fix everything. It doesn't solve the whole problem. Then I go, okay, but you're acknowledging that there's a marginal improvement. There's at least some step that's better than it was before, right? Whatever this is, forget about storming the court, whether you like it, don't like it, or otherwise. If we all agree that it's a problem, we certainly don't yet, but if we did, making a rule is a step. Does that solve everything? Of course it doesn't. Nobody's naive. Nobody's stupid. The same way I sped on the way to work today. Okay? I did. I went a little bit faster than the speed limit sign says. But, like, I didn't go 110. I didn't Jason Worth this thing on Georgetown Pike. Like, you see what I mean? Like, there are rules. There are governors in place for this. So if you really wanted to crack it down, then you position somebody every 15 feet. You know what I mean? Like, every 150 yards, there's another officer sitting there with a radar gun looking at you. You know what I mean? Like, if this is something you're determined to stop, you take steps to try to stop it. Can you fix everything? Of course you can. Someone's going to get by. Occasionally it's going to happen. But if it's a priority, then you make attempts. You try.
My point is it should be a priority. And for a lot of the schools, it isn't. Now, part of the pushback you'll hear, this is not me blaming someone who's making, you know, X amount of dollars an hour to sit there in that role and you know, I'm not yelling at them because they didn't stop hundreds of kids. And that's a thankless job, by the way. It's also a job where if you try to stop a kid, you get yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen some of the viral clips of the security guards that are like standing on the field. Someone tries to run by and the guy like pushes them or shoves them or tackles them or whatever it is that they do. So like, I'm not sitting here blaming them in any way, But I think if it was a priority, people always say, well, you can't have enough security to stop 20,000 people. Why not? We do it in the how is it possible that that doesn't happen at the professional level? Do you think that would just be allowed to happen? It is this grandfathered in tradition, the idea that it's okay. I'm saying we have to change the idea that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay in the NBA. You can't even yell at players barely without them stopping and coming over. And
yeah, LeBron will point to you and get you ejected from the stadium.
Durant was coming on the floor. I think someone called him a B or something, and he walked over and basically confronted them. And I give him a lot of credit, by the way. Not that he confronted them. I would have ideally just liked to have seen him, you know, keep walking and go play basketball. But
whoa, that's crazy.
But he came over and confronted them, and mm-hmm. then when they tried to kick him out, he was like, nah, don't kick them out. Like, let them continue to be here. At some point, it became like you're a punk if you let someone curse at you. And that players are punks if they like don't respond to the fans. You do realize fans have been screaming things at players forever. I'm not saying the players are the bad guys. I'm just saying we have completely seen that this is part of, I think, the player empowerment era and some mm-hmm. of that stuff where it's like, I'm not just here to be cursed at by a fan. Well, okay, we're going to stop the game and you're going to go over and like have a chin wag with this person. I don't know, man. Maybe just let's do our best to ignore it. If they say something horrendous, like there's a line there, they say something that's like super racially insensitive or, you know, talking terribly about a fallen family member or something. I can work in the gray areas.
Sure.
I've got some nuance to this, but just like, hey, loser, you know, some of the stuff that people say sometimes is so ridiculous. Remember when Isaiah Thomas, he was with the Wizards, like went into the crowd and somebody was like, why'd you go into the crowd? And he's like, he called me a name and I went over there and then he told me, he's sorry, man. You're on my fantasy team. And that was about it. Like, no, just go play basketball.
Yeah, do the just go to skip to the basketball part. I'm with you. But I guess ultimately I come back to this one part about court storming. When we did this a long time ago, I'll keep referencing that. I don't remember exactly when it was. Call it 10 years. Because we've been on the air about 10 years. The argument was that it was potentially dangerous. You couldn't even get people to admit to that. Now that we've had enough incidents, again, Caitlin Clark, the center from Duke, the Pittsburgh Panthers player who got punched in 2003 back then, there was another alleged incident here or there. It's a tinderbox.
Aren't you stunned that there hasn't been like a real melee?
1,000%, yes.
How not? Don't you give the college athletes so much credit?
An enormous amount. So, but it's not even them where it's amazing, because these guys have already played such high level tournaments and have done so many millions of things with people screaming at them. It's the drunk buffoon who's going, I got a free shot at, thinking as a Maryland fan growing up, the number of times I would have loved to have thrown a forearm shiver as an adolescent to whatever Duke guy ruined everything for me a million times over. And if Maryland beats someone, like Steve Blake hits a buzzer beater and I get a chance to go, you know, put an elbow to the ribs of Jay Williams on the way by to celebrate with my buddies because I'm hammered, I'd do that. Now, this is 15, 16-year-old me who's an idiot. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm amazed there haven't been more of those kinds of things. I know everybody wants to celebrate, but it's also like, that dude's tormented me. There's a reason I'm storming the court. They're better than me. I got a chance to give them a little shiver. I'll do that. I'm amazed there haven't been more of those things.
Wow.
So if we all agree, and we don't yet, but we're on the way, that this is incendiary. This is one of those, like, it's kindling. It could catch fire. You could have worse things than have happened before. This needs to be addressed. Now you're starting to get people to recognize, okay, it is, but what are you going to do about it? We've come a long way. We're not where we need to be yet.
The reason fans don't go after the players more, you going after 6'5", athlete? I mean, for the majority of the time, the fan is a goofball who looks like me when I was at George Mason.
Uh-huh.
That's most of the time. Now, you might have some big kids, but generally speaking,
a couple of my teammates are probably doing more of the shivers than I would have. But yeah.
This was Jay Billis today on ESPN talking about court storming.
The truth is, nothing's going to change now. We're going to talk about it, and it's going to go away, and nothing's going to change. And if they wanted to stop it, they could stop it tomorrow. The administrators will tell you that security experts tell them that it's not a good idea to try to stop the court storming, that could cause more problems than it would solve. But you don't have to stop the court storming. One time, all you have to do is once they're on the court, Don't let them off. Just say you're all detained and give them all citations or arrest them if you want to. And then court stormings will stop the next day. There's no accountability for this. The fans feel like it's an entitlement, and the universities like it, and the truth is we like it.
I don't want anybody arrested. I guess on a scale of, though, should that be in play versus just allowing this to happen unfettered moving forward? I guess. But here's the problem. It's just not practical. It's like you bust a party and there's 400 people there. Well, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. We're putting everyone in, what do they call those wagons?
Paddy wagons,
and we're driving them all downtown. That's not happening. There are thousands of kids at you know, in some of these places, hundreds of kids only. But they're not all getting arrested. I just think if you start today and you go, this is now banned.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, you can't come back. How you legislate some of these things, I haven't figured it all out yet. I just know that if you make an attempt, you can do something. There will be fewer of them. There will be fewer people running down. You have more security. You have more obstacles for them to get on the floor, whether that's, you know, rope that's up or a stanchion or something. So they have to be funneled into one area where you can do a better job. King Leonidas in the 300 in the narrow passageway,
right,
kind of fighting them off as they run onto the floor. But what we're currently doing is
nothing.
Finding programs in some conferences when it happens, rarely, in those programs, because they're really good schools and they don't storm the court very often. That doesn't seem to be stopping anything. What percent of people do you think it's a problem? I mean, on my little poll here, it's literally 50-50 in terms of people that think something should be done. But just of college basketball fans, I would say the majority of them are actually pro-court
stuff. They're beyond in favor of
it. And therein lies why it is allowed to happen. Let's go to Doyle in Richmond on Grant and Danny. How are you, Doyle?
Hey, guys.
What's up,
buddy?
Yeah. Drab helped me get my key out of that car after the show on that Friday night.
Yeah, there you go, man. What's up?
Yeah, you know who this is.
Well, so he came to the Bethesda Theater and watched 106.7 The Fan versus
HD2.
106.7 The Fan HD2. And Doyle, we saw him after the show, and he had lost his key. Didn't know where it was anywhere. And then lo and behold, it was in his car all along.
I set him on the car seat when I took B. Mitch and Doc's pictures out of there. I didn't want to forget them, and I forgot my key.
My man.
You got the important stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, if they really wanted to stop the court storming, the only thing I could figure is they'd have to put up something like around a hockey rink. That's the only thing I could really see.
The boards or like a net or something.
I don't think you need to do that. I mean, you could have something come up from the floor around the court, like at the end of the game. I'd rather not. I mean, they don't have that for the NBA. No one takes to the court. You know you're not allowed. If you do, you get in big, big trouble. We do this every night, playing basketball all around the country. It is done constantly.
Now, I know it's not the same. Like, if the Wizards, who wouldn't be making the NCAA tournament if it was an equivalent, if they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, you know, the 2 seed in the West, it still would never occur to anybody to storm the court for a million reasons. But I don't know. I understand your point. Like, there are so many leagues where we just don't do it, and we don't. It doesn't occur to us to. But it's like, it's the college kids. It's fine. Well, where does that come from? It's that everybody's hammered drunk, right? Everyone's like so hopped up. And this is their big release.
Yeah.
It sounds cute in theory, but it is dangerous.
Chris on Twitter said, why not address the fact on air that in both recent cases, it was the player initiating contact and flopping. You acted like poor Filipowski and Clark got trampled when you should now recognize what the majority does, that these players and their purposeful acts are at fault. So a couple of things. Number one, the fans shouldn't be on the floor, in my opinion. You are, whether you agree with it or not, Chris, at risk. I'm Filipowski. I am Simba, and you know what's the animal that are stampeding in Lion King?
The rhinos?
No.
No. What are they? Hippos?
Like elk or something?
The gazelles?
Gazelles? Maybe. I'll try another analogy. Mm. You're at risk, man. You're standing in the middle of the floor, and a bunch of people have been booing you and yelling at you and cursing at you and screaming at negative things at you all day. Are now running at you like the scene from Game of Thrones, where Jon Snow's
there
got
we
his
go,
sword,
the Battle of the Bastards,
and all the dudes are running at him.
Yeah,
you've seen the meme. That's what's happening. So, yeah, maybe if someone gets within 2 feet of me and is, like, gawking in my face, he doesn't knock them over or anything, but I might kind of get him out of my way and make sure, okay, I'm bracing for contact. The donk right behind him shoves him in the back, by the way. So, did they get hurt because they were the aggressor? First of all, I don't necessarily think they were the aggressor. I think people were coming into their personal space. They were probably bothered and annoyed that they were in their office and someone came running into it. If I'm sitting here on at the studio and a bunch of people came running in here right now,
I might be a little defensive.
I would be like, oh, I got to get out of here. And I would just, if I have to knock some people over while I'm doing it, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, think of a Major League Baseball player playing center field and some yutz comes, you know, sprinting on. They're running around. He goes to give him a shiver or knock him down, and then he hurts himself. It's like, he's the aggressor right there. No. A trespasser, a violator, a lawbreaker came running into the dojo. You lose your privileges.
Stay
there.
Away from me.
Yeah, it's super simple. Don't do that.
He asked me, and someone else did as well, or maybe this was just the other tweet. You know, Filipowski may not be as hurt as originally thought. Does that change anything?
No.
Like, I don't care if he got hurt or not. I don't care if he was the aggressor or he isn't. The word I was looking for, by the way, from Al on Twitter, well done. Wildebeests. The wildebeests.
Looking for wildebeests there.
Were stampeding, and poor little Simba was trying to get out of the way.
The analogy I use...
Great reference, by the way.
The analogy I use is, this is a little bit morbid, and I'm sure it hits close to home for somebody, but you could drive drunk and get away with it. Because you got home safe doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. See what I'm saying? Like, what you're saying is, well, I made it that time, so there's no problem. There's absolutely a problem. You should not be driving intoxicated.
Stay off the floor.
Right, that's what it is.
Here, it's so simple to me. Professionals are paid so much money that I expect more from them as it pertains to getting into fights with fans, arguing with fans. When Marcus Smart shoved that guy, I don't remember all the details, but I want to say he was like a Texas Tech donor, and he like was by the floor, and Marcus Smart shoved him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he played at Oklahoma State.
He did.
And like they were going back and forth. That was a bad thing for Marcus Smart, and it was a bad look. He's a college kid. College kids sometimes, including me and you when we were college kids,
totally
do regrettable, dumb things, and they're not professionals. Now, we now pay them, so maybe the heavier lies the crown. I don't know. But here's my point. In the professional ranks, there's a little more expectation of decorum and how to act when you're being trolled and violated. And that's part of why I am kind of annoyed with where we're going with, like, kicking people out who yell, "You're a loser," if, in fact, the bar gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, this 19-year-old, not really a amateur anymore, probably. He might be getting some money to be taking yeah. part in this game. But this 19-year-old just had his heart ripped out, just had this awful thing happen where his team lost that they were clearly supposed to win, just had the worst thing that's happened to him in a while, and a bunch of people who may or may not be drunk purposefully are running up to and trolling him. What could possibly go wrong? We're just all signing up for this thing. And a lot of people say, well, if he does something, that's on the player. He shouldn't hit them. Yeah, you're right. He shouldn't. Also, why are we playing with fire? Why are we purposefully putting these young people in this terrible situation that is completely avoidable? John's in Arlington. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How are you, pal?
So I went to Wake Forest. So first, we obviously should not have stormed the court because we were favored by 2.5 points in the game.
So someone else brought this up.
I love that point. I love that.
I thought they were dogs because I looked at the game and bet it on FanDuel, and I thought I had Wake catching a couple points.
Well, me and my buddies were all laughing because we were like, we won't take this. Are you kidding me? I can't believe they're favoring us. So 2.5 points, we were favored. So,
and by the way, that campus is immaculate. I was there this year. What a gorgeous campus that is.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So we used to do this when I was there, too. I was there when Chris Paul was there. And we honestly, we do it too frequently. We should never do it, right? It's kind of lame, right? Because we're never that much of an underdog, even though we kind of have sucked lately. Regardless of that, I think that's why we shouldn't have done it. Now, I will say, I think the reason people feel more comfortable doing this in college than they do in the pros is that the students, their peers, are the ones playing, and they feel like a part of it, and they feel like a part of them. And so I think they're more comfortable because there's not quite the supremacy that exists between the players and the patrons in this case, right? Because they're kind of more their peers. So that's point one. Point two, and then I'll get off and you guys can react. Filipowski is not hurt. He was never hurt. He flopped. And I only think, and you say you don't care about whether he is or isn't hurt. Okay, fine. And you're welcome to your view on whether you should or shouldn't, which I agree, you shouldn't storm the court. Regardless, he was flopping. And I think the only reason we're talking about this is because he's hurt. And we wouldn't be talking about it with this fake level of outrage if he hadn't done the Duke thing, which is to flop and be lame.
That's a good bit.
I love that bit.
No bias whatsoever, it sounds like. No, today we're talking about it because he got, and I'll use air quotes, hurt. I don't know that it was a flop. You're saying it is. That's the first I've heard that. Regardless, again, I've been saying this for years. Whenever I see court storming,
but you're
point
right.
At it
it's an
go,
avenue to talk about
I'm
it.
I'm Leo in the meme where I'm just pointing and I'm drinking a drink and I'm going, that's stupid. There's Why are
been,
we doing this
There's
again?
Been an average of 3 court storms per month over the last like handful of years, all across college basketball.
Yeah.
So you're right. We're talking about this because this is a high-profile one.
Well, not only that, the fear is, like, if you knew right now no one will ever get hurt, no one will ever get into a fight, nothing bad will ever happen, mm-hmm. Well, then you and I wouldn't care.
Then I wouldn't care.
The whole point is someone might get hurt, and then we saw someone on national TV get hurt. So, yes, that's part of why everyone's talking about it. My point is, whether he got hurt or not, someone will. So if you're saying he faked it or, you know, whatever, fine. Someone's going to get landed on, stepped on. Someone is going to pull something, be out for the tournament. It is absolutely going to happen. Or someone's just going to get dropped. Someone's going to get punched. Someone's going to get knocked out. It's going to happen. There's no way that it wouldn't. Let's get you a Caps power play. And you definitely can't storm the court if you're a favorite. All right? Let's just get that out of the way. I don't care if they're number 8 and you're not ranked.
It's Tim Duncan's school, man.
Favored, man.
Chris Paul went there. Come on, guys.
Such a good player. Capitals. Senators. Tonight, game 57 for the good guys. Home game number 29 on the season. 14-9-5 at Capital One Arena. I know a portly bearded fella. He's got 2 thumbs. They're pointing at himself right now. Either side of this microphone.
Who is that?
He will be there tonight. A couple question marks from a health standpoint, including Anthony Mantha, who got banged up at the end of the game. Man, the Caps sure are running low on healthy bodies right now. This would be a big 2 points for them. And frankly, they're at a point now where you just got to beat teams like this. Ottawa's not particularly good. They're very average, 53 points on the season. You have to find a way to win this game.
They've won 2 straight, talking about the Ottawa Senators. But if you'd like to go anywhere, you got to harvest your nuts right here.
Shout out to ancient philosopher, Eddie Jordan.
Eddie Jordan.
On harvesting your nuts. For Darius, who beat Jeff Walker 42-3 in Madden.
It's almost more insulting that he got 3. You know
Over
what I mean?
The weekend.
Yeah.
Why did you allow him to get 3, Darius? What happened on that drive?
It was one of the first 2 drives of the game, and it was my first time playing Jeff. So whenever I'm playing someone for the first time, it takes me a little bit to like feel the person out, you know, trying to see if he can handle my zone defense.
I guess you felt him out okay then.
Huh? Yeah, I would say ultimately we figured it out.
Was he as bad as it sounds like he was?
It's okay, you can say.
Jeff's my guy.
But?
Yeah, it was
he's terrible.
Pretty bad. He's pretty bad, yeah. He just doesn't get it.
I haven't played Madden in like 5 years. What would the spread be for me versus Jeff? If I were to tell you I used to be pretty good at Madden, but it's been a while.
Because of the lack of experience, the recent experience for you, I'd favor him, but I'd only give him like 1 point.
Oh,
that is
so mean.
I want to play him so bad.
That is mean.
For Darius and our show meteorologist, Ryan Clary, Grant and Danny saying so long. By the way, start of the show tomorrow. We'll have all the details for you, so tune in right at 2. But Adam Peters, the general manager of the Commanders, is coming on this radio show midweek.
Hell yeah.
Chance it's tomorrow, chance it's Wednesday. We'll know for sure at 2 o'clock tomorrow. But Adam Peters will be on with us, so make note of that. Thanks for listening. Back at it at 2.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.